This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz. We are live for 95.7 The Game, our Warriors weekly podcast, and we're ready to roll following Game 1, Western Conference semifinals in Memphis. Warriors get the win. Just a ton going on in this game, Steiny. I had a chance to talk about it on the postgame show last night. I just want to get your general thoughts, and then we can get to a bunch of the things that I bullet pointed as far as Draymond getting ejected and the officiating and the Warriors winning the game after Draymond gets ejected. And a million things to talk about coming off of this one. But what is the headline for you off of the Warriors' win last night?
It feels like that was a game from, 2018. They won a game that was a toss-up game, essentially. And I think over the years, when they've been into the postseason, got to five straight finals, they won three out of four of those types of games in the postseason. And, they got one yesterday, and they got it even though, some things didn't go their way. I thought, obviously, the Draymond ejection I thought was extreme. I didn't think he should have gotten ejected for that, but they overcame that. And then, Jordan Poole was the best player on the floor last night. And he was somebody that when we looked at the Warriors this year, coming into this season, I think everybody was excited about Poole, but I don't think anybody thought, this guy may be their best player in the postseason. Nobody would have thought that, but he's been one of their best players in the postseason. If not Curry, it's been him, I think. And to play that well like he did yesterday on the road, give the Warriors a 1-0 lead and take home court right off the bat, that's big for the Warriors. Now Memphis has some pressure on him tomorrow night.
Yeah, the fashion by which the Warriors won Game 1 for me makes it almost worth, in a way, more than one. And look, the Warriors didn't have to win the game yesterday. I thought they would have, but the way that it played out, I actually thought they were going to win just based on the experience and the quick turnaround and Memphis being so charged up and such a young team that they just wouldn't be totally together as maybe they would be later on in a series. I thought Game 1 was the one for the Warriors to steal, but I did not see them stealing it in the way that they stole it. With Memphis coming out, and I thought played pretty well early in the game and had the Warriors down 13, and it really felt almost at that point like the Grizzlies were a different team than the Grizzlies team that had played against the Timberwolves. Now, some of the things that had bothered Memphis in that series wound up bothering them as the game went on against the Warriors. But the bottom line, Game 1 doesn't typically make a series. I thought if the Grizzlies had won last night or yesterday afternoon, rather, all right, series on, we'll see what happens in Game 2. But, yeah, for the Grizzlies to play as well as they did early have the Draymond get ejected. The Warriors come back, control for the most part the second half. Then the Grizzlies rally, come up short. I feel like the Warriors now have the Grizzlies really up against it, where the Warriors know they can play better. I think the Grizzlies believe they can play better, but there's also that little bit in the back of I think the Grizzlies' minds now that maybe the Warriors don't have to play their best to beat the Grizzlies and even beat them in Memphis. And so, yeah, I think there's an added layer to where the Warriors can play freer tomorrow night in game two, and the Grizzlies are going to have to, in some ways, play a much better game than they did in game one. And at times, not for the full game, but at times, I thought the Grizzlies played about as well as they could.
Yeah, I thought they could have played a better second half myself. But, you know, it's funny, and I'm not going to say that the Warriors benefited from this, but, you know, Draymond Green gets ejected in a game where he's got 5 turnovers in 17 minutes.
Ooh.
I mean, he could have been headed for one of those real bad 8-9 turnover games, and then maybe the game's a little different. Who knows? I'm not saying the Warriors are better without Draymond Green, but maybe this was the game to kind of miss him because he was already, you know, very, very loose with the ball. I think Memphis has got to play a little bit better defensively. I thought the Warriors were still pretty comfortable. They're 3-point shooters. But, you know, the other thing is they got good effort. They got a lot of help from Looney. They got a lot of help from Gary Payton II. Wiggins was good again. So it's not just Clay, Steph, and Poole. They're getting – even Kuminga didn't hurt them last night. So it's looking at the big picture, I actually did think this was the game for the Warriors to win. Just because the Grizzlies had played on Friday in Minnesota. They were flying back to Memphis from Minnesota. Warriors hadn't played since Wednesday. But all that having been said, you have a chance to win a game like that. You got to win it. I mean, you got to win it. And you can't give another one away like that.
Well, and I'll say this. I think you brought up something that I think maybe is the most important thing from with all the other storylines. The most important thing, just from a tactical standpoint, as the series moves forward, I think you hit it. It was how effortlessly the Warriors were able, for the most part, to run their offense. Now, there were some drives where the Warriors attacked the basket and the Grizzlies got over and blocked some shots, changed some shots, maybe forced some turnovers. But other than a couple of those plays where the Grizzlies collapsed, I thought the Warriors kind of got whatever they wanted and really got whatever they wanted at the three-point line, to a point where as the game went on, the Grizzlies were really over helping outside and making it really easy for the Warriors to just throw the ball to the basket and right. Guys are wide open for layups. I think that's a great point as the series goes on. And that is just how the Warriors were able to work their offense into a rhythm and not have it really be plodding. I think that, among everything, probably bodes the best for the Warriors as the series moves forward.
Yeah, I thought the Grizzlies would be able to, bother the Warriors a little bit more at that end of the floor. I'm kind of looking at right now at, the Warriors, 48% from the floor, 37 from three-point range. 17 turnovers. So,
yet it still felt comfortable. Even like Clay, Clay didn't shoot it well in the game yesterday. Steph didn't shoot it well in the game yesterday, but yet, Poole obviously did, and he was a big part of the win. But then you look around, and it was, Wiggins did some things, and Gary Payton 4 for 5. Gary Payton and Kevon Looney 8 for 10 combined. Yeah. 8 for 10 combined, and then you throw Kuminga in there, his 2 for 3. The Warriors won the game yesterday from 2. I had this note on the post game. The Warriors were a -6 from 3-point. The Memphis actually outshot them from 3, outmade them from 3. They were -5 at the free throw line, but they were +12 in terms of 2s, and a lot of those 2s were Payton and Looney and Kuminga at an extremely high percentage.
Yeah, they were. And that's just, you know, if Memphis is going to try to take that three away, then they're going to be susceptible to, you know, not only twos, but easy twos. And the thing about Peyton, when he gets inside, I mean, he finishes. There's no doubt about it. You know, the thing I was interested in was, and I don't know how many games he's been starting this year, but that Tillman started for the Grizzlies. You know, you have Tillman and then Jaren Jackson Jr. I kind of only like the idea of having one of those guys on the floor at the same time. But, you know, you and I were talking about Jackson before the series and was a little worried about him, quite frankly. But, I mean, he was terrific last night, making threes from all over the court. You know, I wonder if that's something that the Warriors are going to have to account for a little bit more. Because he was, you know, he hurt him from the three-point line.
He did, and hitting step backs and, I mean, moving around. I mean, he looked like a guard, frankly. Yeah. I mean, with the shots that he was getting. Warriors, well, Jaren Jackson Jr. did give him a hard time. Warriors did a number on Ja Morant. I want to get to the way that the Warriors defended Ja Morant, because they really sagged off. I think they dared him to take threes that he was willing to take. He was actually 4 for 11, but they really wanted him to shoot jumpers. And I think, you know, because he is the superstar for the Grizzlies, I do think there's an added onus on him that he wears to have to take some of those shots and almost prove the defense wrong. And I think that played into the Warriors' hands in a big time way, rather than maybe him looking to get rid of the ball, get it back, maybe kick it to some other shooters. You know, Morant kind of got his, but it was inefficient, even though he made some threes. And Dylan Brooks, 3 for 13, he was terrible offensively yesterday and in foul trouble and too wound up and all of that. Desmond Bane, 1 of 5 from three-point range. De'Anthony Melton always hurts the Warriors from three. Jaren Jackson had a big game. But it was almost as if the game plan for the Warriors was, all right, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be tough. Let's make Morant inefficient. Let's try to get Brooks and maybe Bane to have bad games and then let the chips fall where they may. And it, I thought, kind of worked, and it especially worked in the second half.
I mean, look, Morant was 14 for 31. You'll take that. He was 4 for 11. I'm talking about the Warriors. You'll take that. And he only got the line three times.
That's the biggie.
That's the one. So if the Warriors are going to, you know, if they're going to keep him out of the lane, then they have to pay the price for that. Now, how do you pay the price for that? Well, I think Morant's got to obviously make a few more threes. But, I mean, you know, that's 37, 38% what he did. That's about what he is. But if the Warriors are going to pack it in like they did against Morant, some point he's going to have to make some shots and make them pay. And he wasn't able to make enough of them last night.
What did you think of the Draymond ejection? Let's just get to it. I'll give you a little bit of context from being in the building. Because I'll say this, in real time, I thought, that looks ugly.
That's what you thought?
In real time, I thought, that looks ugly. It's definitely a flagrant foul. And then once they got to the first review, the initial review was, okay, hit him in the head, and he grabbed his jersey. And then you see, okay, well, he actually tried to prevent him from taking a worse fall than he did with the jersey grab toward the end. So I thought initially flagrant one, and, you know, if the officials get a wild hair, they may throw him out based, again, on Draymond's reputation, fair or unfair. And then the crowd got into it. And look, officials should never let the crowd impact their decisions. I thought there was such an almost hostile, edgy crowd, and they start chanting, throw him out, and they're really taking extra time to look at it. And I thought, you know what? In the moment, they might throw him out of the game. And so, you know, he obviously goes crazy taunting the fans afterwards. We could save that, I guess, for now. But just, what did you think flagrant one off the top, and that's all it was going to be. I mean, were you surprised he got kicked out?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought it was a flagrant one, and apparently that's not going to be changed. Apparently that's going to stay flagrant two from what I've heard today so far, which is interesting. You know, it might be as simple, JD, as it's game one of the series. It was a close call. We've had issues with Draymond. This is going to be physical series. Let's just put it out there right away. You know what I mean? Like, clean it up right away. And we're going to let them know, meaning the players, that, you know, you want to do something like this, you're putting yourself in jeopardy if it's, you know, if it's a close call. And I didn't think it was, I thought it was a flagrant one, but you know what? You get enough flagrant ones over the years, over your career, you know, they're going to make a wrong decision maybe on one of them, and that might have been it.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, again, as you watched it more and more, it was pretty clear to me that it shouldn't have been an ejection. But I'm with you. I think the environment impacted it. I think the officials got a little caught up in the emotion in the building, which is not something that you...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to see, and I also think clearly the reputation was part of it. In the playoffs, though, especially once you realize, because you could tell in looking at the video that Draymond was – oh, it did click in his head. Oh, this could be a bad fall. I'm really going to try to hold him up by kind of hanging on to the jersey. And I think at that point, you can almost infer some intent in terms of he wasn't trying to throw him to the ground. Thus, flagrant one for the head hit and the initial grab of the jersey. But he remains in the game at that point in time. I want to hit on just real quick on what you mentioned, and it was the report from the league. That it's two flagrant points. And I'll say this, in the pool report from last night, Steiny, the way it was explained, I'm not surprised that they didn't overturn it based on the way that it was explained, if that makes sense. And I know Kane Fitzgerald was asked by the pool reporter, and here's what he said. The question was, what did you see that made the call a flagrant two instead of a flagrant one? And Fitzgerald says, well, there's a couple of things. The first part was the windup and significant contact to the face, and then the pull down from the jersey grab and the throw down to the floor to an airborne, vulnerable player makes it unnecessary and excessive. That's what led to the flagrant penalty two. When I read that last night, I thought they probably aren't going to – like, to me, that was an official, like – quadrupling down on, no, we got this right. And it was more of a violent play. Like, when I'm not surprised that he has to stick with the two flagrant points, fair or unfair, based on that explanation. And you know, there's a byplay between the league and the officials in terms of, hey, Kane Fitzgerald, explain that. What was going on? And it sounds like he was pretty adamant of the intent and the rule.
So now what? What's I know you know the points. I always forget them.
Yeah, I do. It's okay. So four, it's a lower number than I thought. Four. So this is a big deal. Four is a suspension. And I believe it's every other after four. So it's four, six, eight. Like if you go on and on, every second one after you reach four, I think is another game suspension. So in essence, Draymond Green is two flagrant. He's got one more to play with, in essence. Two flagrant fouls. Right. Another flagrant two at any point, he's suspended. Another two flagrant.
If for whatever reason he commits a flagrant two tomorrow,
he's missing the next game.
Right, but he will also miss the remainder of tomorrow's game.
Correct.
Yeah. So he's got to be careful. He's got to be real careful. And you know what? The points, they go to the finals, the Western Conference Finals, and the NBA Finals, right?
Definitely. That's right. So it's 2016 all over again, Steiny.
Two more flagrant ones are going to be a problem.
Exactly. And so there's one more to play with. That's a big storyline to keep an eye on moving forward here. A couple other things I jotted down here. Just the officiating overall. I know if the Warriors had lost this game, I think a big part of your show coming up later today and every show would have been the officiating. The Warriors won, so I think the fans are able to maybe cope with it a little bit. I do think it was a poorly officiated game. I thought for the most part it was just a poorly officiated game both ways. I know the Warriors thought they were getting a bad whistle in the first quarter. I think Memphis thought they were getting a bad whistle as the game went on. But then there were a couple of key plays that went against the Warriors. I thought the block charge was a block and not a charge involving Curry and that fifth foul. The ball out of bounds at the end is bad, where it clearly went off of Brooks. I thought the officials called a jump ball, Steiny, because they knew nobody could challenge. And they didn't want to just guess, so they tried to make it as fair as possible in that situation. Still bad, but that's the one where it's like, God, can we just review that? It didn't wind up hurting the Warriors, but it very easily could have if John Morant makes that layup.
Yeah, well, that play is, that's a rule issue more than an officials issue. Like when I saw that in real time, I thought it was a tough call. So now they're looking at each other and nobody's got a handle on it. So I guess one of them should just guess at that point. Just guess. But these guys are taught when they don't know definitively and they don't have help, it's got to be a jump ball. So none of those three refs came out and said, look, I got Memphis ball or I got Golden State ball. So that's just one of those that just kind of fell through the cracks that just shouldn't happen. That shouldn't be, that's got to be rectified. I also thought, the game, I actually thought in a way the game's officiating helped the Warriors. It just made it. I actually think the Grizzlies want to keep the game moving without stoppages, because I think they're younger, they're more athletic, they're deeper. But I think the choppiness of the game may have helped the Warriors a little bit, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, especially because the Warriors were better in the half court the Warriors are not better in the half court than a lot of teams, but they're better in the half court than the Grizzlies are. The Grizzlies have to get out and turn defense into offense and make explosive plays and shoot the three ball. So I think that's a really good point as this thing moves forward.
If Memphis, if Ja can't penetrate, well, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he did some yesterday, but he didn't get to the line and he took a bunch of, he was very willing to take those threes that the Warriors were very willing to give him.
Right. And I think that's something where, I think even if he starts making them, they're not going to change their strategy. I think they're saying
– made a couple yesterday.
I think they're saying he will not shoot 40% from three-point range. So let's go ahead and see if we can encourage him to take 10-plus a game.
Yeah, and I thought he made a couple early, and that was why he was maybe more willing to take it. Like, I didn't even think that, well, what in the moment you're thinking, oh, boy, Morant's going to get going. But that's
right.
As the game goes on, that's fine. He makes a couple early. Yeah. But that means he's going to take four more later that maybe he doesn't make. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, the two big stops on Morant late. Just another thing. I mean, Curry with five fouls to be able to get the steal and the knockaway there. Just, I mean, a tremendous play in a tough matchup for him. And then Klay with Peyton on Morant. Klay just coming over. I mean, that was very subtle, but it threw the rhythm off. I know Morant after the game was – and his Grizzlies teammates were – you know, he probably makes that 9 out of 10, but he was just enough off his spot in the moment to where that layup was off. When he got a step, I thought, uh-oh, like this might be, like, right to the basket for an easy one. But Klay – I mean, the Warriors, I think the name of the game yesterday for the Warriors was they just did enough in a lot of the big moments. It did feel like the championship days of past where they just won seemingly all of the big plays in key moments, even without maybe a couple of calls going their way.
Yeah, the play at the end with Klay, I do think that just by being there, made Morant miss that shot. I think if Klay's not there, then he's more of a corner turn there at the end and he can get a little closer. But he had to make that layup without any of his momentum going toward the basket. He kind of had to stay in a straight line to his left because just Klay was there. I actually also think Peyton was doing a good enough job there. Like, he didn't get beat entirely. He just kept hanging there on that left, on his right side. And with Klay being there, it just made it a real tough shot. And they didn't have, they didn't really have enough time for him to kick out to a shooter at that point, I didn't think.
No, not enough time for that. And so just a terrific defensive play as far as the Warriors go. Jordan Poole came off the bench, had a massive game, so don't have to worry about that. I mean, Gary Payton starting, a little bit surprised by that, but it makes a lot of sense in terms of the defense. And with Iguodala out, I mean, Steve Kerr even gave Damian Lee a couple of minutes, but it wound up being Kuminga who got himself into the rotation and held his own. I mean, if they can get 15 good minutes from Kuminga in this series, I think that could be a real help. And you know, it just all of the changes for all of the chatter about the lineup changes and the like, Poole goes back to the bench, plays an excellent game, looked like the Jordan Poole of the first three games of the Denver series. Looney's coming off the bench, makes an impact offensively and in terms of offensive rebounding in the game. Like, everybody that got shifted around, Kuminga has to step in, filled their roles and played very well. I mean, the Warriors, I think, yeah, they get a lot of credit for guys just kind of, I don't want to say buying in, but all the pieces fitting in the manner which they need to fit in what is a very different series from the first one.
Yeah, and I want to look at it from the other point of view too is, Xavier Tillman started two games this year. Two games for Memphis. So I'd
and
love
a couple
to know,
in the last series.
Yeah, I'd love to know what they were thinking there. Because I don't know. I would have put I just don't think he's offensive enough, but I know he made a big three against them last year, the Warriors in the play-in game, I think it was. But you know what else could change is maybe the Warriors change their starting lineup next game. Who knows?
I think they're going to roll with I'll bet they roll with the same group. It is tough to tell because the rotations, I think, got screwed up. The foul trouble in the first half, and then Draymond gets ejected. So, I mean, Steve Kerr going back to Poole in that third quarter, I thought that was key. I mean, he took the game over in the fourth. I mean, just really good stuff. Final thought here, a biggest adjustment for the Warriors from game one to game two in your mind, biggest adjustment for the Grizzlies game one to two in your mind?
Dylan Brooks has to be better. Like, he can be their second best scorer at times. He can't go 3 for 13. He's got to stay a little more composed too. For the Warriors, I just think they keep playing their game until it gets taken away from them, if it can be taken away from them. And if you know they're gonna keep shooting the ball like they're shooting, and I mean they got contributions from five or six guys. You know, their best players and then their role players. So it's one of those games to me, JD, where you look and you're like, Wiggins, he's pretty good. Looney, he was good. Payton, he was good. Curry, he was good. 8 for 20. I know that's, you know, not Poole was good. Clay made the biggest shot of the night. So it's one of those games where you get to the locker room if you're the Warriors and you're like, man, everybody chipped in. Kuminga. I mean, everybody, there was nobody that was terrible last night for the Warriors.
Good stuff, Steiny. We'll call it on that. I'm going to get over to practice here in Memphis, and we'll talk again. We'll talk again here soon after game two.
All right,
thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.